I've got Dr. Rachel Morris in the studio with me. Good morning, Rachel.
Morning, Lee.
And Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you.
You have a nice one?
It was really great, thank you, yes.
You didn't overindulge too much. We talked about food and diet before in December, didn't we?
We did. I must say, my vice is Christmas cake. And my mother had made a huge one and no one else in my family eats it, so...
What's the girl to do?
What can you do? Just eat the whole thing.
Well, you said, you know, once a year you have to treat yourself.
Yeah, I should have probably eaten a little bit less, but, you know, I had a great time. It was really great.
And what about alcohol? Because you're here to talk about alcohol today. Mm. We'll talk about limits and things like that, because that's... Let's start with limits, because I suppose that's the benchmark by which we'll judge everything else. What are the recommended limits for men and women?
Well, the recommended limits for low-risk drinking for men and women are no more than 14 units per week. Now, there's been some recent government recommendations that there's actually no safe limit for alcohol drinking, which has changed. But if you are going to drink, then they recommend less than 14 units for men and for women.
Because that used to be something like 14 for women and 21 for men, didn't it?
It actually used to be even higher than that. It used to be 21 for women and 28 for men, and then it's come down and then come down again.
So now it's the same. And a unit, what's in a unit?
So, I can't remember exactly how much alcohol is in a unit, but an average glass of wine, sort of a 175ml glass of wine, of strong wine would contain 2.4 units.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So, so three or four glasses of wine, that's, you're up to 10 units.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, if you're having wine with your meal, you could easily drink in a night, and that's all your weekly allowance really gone, isn't it?
You could. And more worrying is that the government have identified that actually it's binge drinking that's the most dangerous, rather than having a little bit of alcohol spread through the week. And by binge drinking for women, they talk about that as being more than 6 units. So there we are. That would class as a binge drinking.
You see, when we think about binge drinking, we think about, it's awful, but we think about groups of men and women going out on a Saturday night and just necking as much as they can. We don't think of just steadily working your way through a bottle of wine.
Absolutely. Three glasses of fairly strong wine would count as binge drinking for a woman. It's 8 units for a man.
And what about spirits and lager, things like that? Neil called in earlier, Neil Bradshaw, saying how many units are there in a can of lager, say?
Well, in a can of lager, a 440ml can of weak lager, 3.8%, you've got 1.7 units. But then a lot of them are stronger lagers, aren't they? So a 5.2% alcohol by volume lager would be 2.3 units. So probably more than people would expect.
So no surprise, really, that we've got these limits in our alcohol consumption. But let's put it on the table. Why? What damage does alcohol do to your body?
Well, in the short term, we all know that alcohol can increase bad behaviour, poor judgments, can make people aggressive. It can interfere with their sleep. It can also cause all sorts of social problems, such as domestic abuse, and has been cited as one of the main reasons for relationship breakdowns as well. So all sorts of sort of short-term problems of actually consuming alcohol. But there is also some risks long-term. People who do drink have a higher risk of heart disease, stroke, liver disease, including liver cancer. And there's some other cancers, such as bowel cancer, mouth cancer, that are increased with high levels of drinking, and pancreatitis as well, which is inflammation of the pancreas, which is a really nasty illness.
Because people, we always associate the liver with drinking alcohol. Mm. So, you know, we know that we're putting our liver through it. Is it because the liver is the organ that processes
it metabolises alcohol? So that's the way we get rid of it from our system. But we often associate people who have liver problems as being alcoholics. But actually, we're seeing more and more people who don't have sort of addicted patterns of drinking, but just maybe quite heavy drinkers, who are also having liver disease as well.
And we talked about how the limits have changed, the recommended limits have changed. What's also changed and seems to change frequently is whether a little bit of alcohol can be good for you. Every so often this report comes up, you know, a glass of red wine a day. It's always red wine, actually. A glass of red wine a day can be good for you. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I think the reason they say sometimes that a glass of red wine can be good for you is not because of the alcohol in the red wine. It's due to the other stuff in the red wine, some of the antioxidants and things like that. So I haven't seen any evidence that any amount of alcohol is good for you.
Okay, that's not what I wanted to hear.
No, sorry, Lee.
That is your bottom line. I can see you're not moving from that.
I'm not budging. But again, you know, if you try and stick to less than 14 units and try and be sensible about your drinking, then you shouldn't come to too much harm. But really, there isn't a safe level of drinking.
There's
anymore.
Not a safe
no,
level. And it's, if you do want, unless you're completely teetotal, most of us will have a drink now and again. Is there something that we can do to minimise the damage we're doing to our body? Are there certain drinks that we can choose or mixes, things like that?
Well, of course, the problem with drinking alcohol is it stimulates our appetite. So you start to have a glass or two of wine and then you suddenly find yourselves eating through a bag of crisps. So it would be making sure you're having a healthy meal if you're having some alcohol, because there's a lot of calories in alcohol as well. The other thing is, yes, mixers can often be quite sugary, can't they? So choosing a low-sugar mixer, so such as a slimline tonic with your gin, Diet Coke, if you're going to have Malibu and Coke, for example, that can help cut down the calories that we're consuming. But there's other tips for safe drinking. As firstly, don't drink on an empty stomach. The second tip would be alternate a glass of alcoholic drink with a glass of water so you don't get dehydrated. Dehydration is one of the main problems when you're feeling hungover, because alcohol after the first glass does start to dehydrate you.
And is there a form of alcohol that's less damaging than the others? You know, if I lined up everything, spirits and wine and beer, and said, you know, Rachel, choose me the healthiest alcohol, you know, would you say, well, actually, what, you know, the one that's likely to do least damage to you is white wine, red wine?
Well, alcohol is alcohol. It's the same substance in each drink. So then you have to look at what else is in the drink and how many calories. Your white wine actually has quite a few calories in it. So if you want to cut down on the calories, choose a drink that has a slimline mixer with it. So gin and slimline tonic, for example. Or one thing I often do is add some soda water to a glass of white wine, which makes it last longer. You still get the taste of the wine, but you've often halved the alcohol in it.
A spritzer.
Spritzer.
Now, there is a theory that if you have a spritzer, though, that can make you drunk a little bit quicker. I don't know. Was this urban myth? I remember talking about this at university. The bubbles carry the alcohol around you. Is that nonsense, Rachel?
I think that probably is nonsense. It's due to the fact that you were glugging loads and loads of spritzers, possibly. Nothing to do with bubbles. I've not heard that one before.
Really?
No.
Well, I was talking about Dry January with Louise earlier, and she was suggesting, because lots of people, you know, we have a heavy Christmas and then stop drinking suddenly for Dry January. Now, Louise was saying, is it a good thing to just suddenly stop, or should you actually just filter it off slightly until you are at the point where you're not drinking and then go into January and not drink at all?
Well, there's a couple of things about that. The first thing is that it's never a good idea to completely stop something if it's something you've been used to, because if you're not intending to do that long term, psychologically, if we feel very deprived, we think about that thing much, much more. So people would say it's better, rather than having 1 month completely off, to drastically just cut down your drinking throughout the year, rather than having 1 month off and then drinking heavily for the rest of the year. However, it can be a really good kickstart into feeling what it's like to have a few weeks without alcohol. And people have reported their sleep is much better, their skin is much better, they feel less tired, they feel fitter, and all sorts of things. So I think, you know, at the beginning of the year, it can be a really, really good thing to do. It just depends if it's going to make you want to crave alcohol even more and go overboard in February.
That's the thing, isn't it? As you say, when you know you can't have something, that's all you think about.
Yeah, exactly. If I said to you now, you're not allowed to have chocolate for the rest of the week, what's the first thing you want to go and buy?
Yeah,
It can be dangerous if you're a very heavy drinker, if you're addicted to alcohol, if you're drinking a lot, if you suddenly stop. That can be dangerous. And that's why, you know, if you feel you are drinking very heavily or have an addiction, do go and see your GP. And there are safe ways that we can help people cut down. Because if you're drinking extremely heavily and you suddenly stop, there are some medical problems that can happen.
Well, I'll throw this story. Louise Wilson's been back in touch. She said studies have found that moderate drinkers are healthier than teetotalers because it can be relaxing.
There are various conflicting studies. There was one that came out either in the BMJ or the Lancet, which showed a bit of a U-shaped curve that showed that people who were teetotal had a slightly higher mortality than people who had a couple of units a week. I must say, I don't know what the new evidence is about that. But I think there are lots of confounding factors perhaps in that. I'm not sure it's the alcohol that's made people more healthy. It just might be other things.
I suppose that lots of people have a drink when they get home from work because it helps them relax, isn't there? There is something about alcohol that just helps you unwind a bit. Is it about, if we're wanting to change our relationship with alcohol, we need to look at why we drink and try and replace the effects with something else?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very behavioural. Like a Friday night, you get home and you think, right, end of the week, glass of wine. It signifies the fact I'm going to relax and I'm not going to have any more work to do because I'm having a glass of wine. So it's changing our association with relaxing. Is there another ritual you can do to relax instead of a glass of wine? Maybe a cup of tea or a different type of herbal tea or a really nice non-alcoholic cocktail or something like that. I think it's so habit-forming, it's so behavioural, it's often not the alcohol, it's often the sort of circumstances in which we're drinking.
And of course we associate it with celebrations, don't we? You know, we reward ourselves, if we've done really well, we reward ourselves with a nice drink. Equally, we associate it with commiseration. You have a bad week, oh, I deserve a drink.
Yeah, yeah. The problem with using it, commiseration's bad week, I deserve a drink, is alcohol's actually a depressant and can make you feel a bit relaxed, but actually will make you feel worse in the long term, and the problem seems to be, can get quite overwhelming really.
So if we are going to drink, the recommendation is no more than 14 units a week.
Yep.
Spirits are, how much is in, say, a gin and tonic?
It depends if it's a double one or a single one, but it's generally around about a unit per unit of spirits for the really strong ones.
And not use all those 14 units all at once.
Not all at once, no. It's much, much better to spread it out so you're not having them all on one night. And try and have quite a few nights off if you can. The nights off are really, really important. And I have a rule for myself that I will have more nights not drinking than I have drinking in a week.
I think the thing is, I notice if I've been drinking the night before, I don't have to have drunk very much, but if I exercise the morning following a night where I've maybe had a couple of glasses of wine, you do feel it in your body. We all know it's there, don't we? It's just about behaving sensibly towards it.
Absolutely, and there have been a lot of studies recently that show that if you have more than one glass of wine at night, your sleep is really affected. And it's not just getting to sleep, because it can sometimes help you drop off, but it's the sleep early in the morning, sort of 3 or 4 a.m. that's affected. So that's one reason why we feel so rubbish even just after a couple of glasses.
Okay, Rachel, it possibly wasn't the news I wanted to hear, but it's the sensible news, and we all want to look after ourselves and live longer. So that's 14 units of alcohol a week. Yes.
Or less.
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course, or less. That's not required.
It's not an aspirational target.
And if people want to find out more about you and your work, where should they go?
So do have a look at our website, which is cambridgeperformance.co.uk or www.rachelmorris.org, and you can find out all about me and the wellbeing workshops we can run for people.
Lovely. Well, nice to see you again, Rachel. What are you up to for the rest of this month? Have you got some New Year's resolutions?
I have. I am doing dry January because I want to have a month and see what it's like. I'm trying to eat very healthily. I'm trying to avoid fatty diets, but I have really taken a look at what I'm eating and upping the exercise a bit. So all good, and trying to find some nights out that don't involve alcohol.
All right. So when I see you this time next month, you'll be a transformed woman.
I will be. Watch this space.
Thanks, Rachel.
You're welcome.